Okay, you were smart.
Sorry?
Bringing the knitting. I had no idea that they'd keep us waiting so long. I didn't bring any of my own to do.
Oh, you knit too?
A little. I'm better with crochet. Mostly mittens, a few hats. I did a poncho. Once. You're knitting a scarf?
Blanket. But it's in the early stages. I'm Connie, by the way.
Hi, Connie. Ruth.
I don't meet a lot of Ruths.
Yeah. It's one of the names everyone's heard, but that you'll never find on a keyring at the amusement park. Where did you get your yarn? That's a really pretty shade of pink.
Am I going to sound conceited if I tell you I dye my own? I swear, I'm not a hipster.
No, that's awesome. I spin my own sometimes, but I've never figured out dyeing.
See, I'm the exact opposite. Spinning wheels scare the crap out of me. I watched Sleeping Beauty one time too many.
Okay. I don't care what happens in this interview, you and I are staying in touch. Here's my card with my website where I sell my things. All my contact info is there.
I'm on board with this plan. So, can I ask, how much did they tell you about this position?
Nothing. Sorry. I'm really hoping this isn't selling knives.
Ugh, 3 times I fell for that. I don't think that's what this is, though. The ad didn't read like it.
My apologies for keeping you waiting, ladies.
Not his fault. It's mine. I'm so sorry. I would have been here 10 minutes early, but one of my ewes got her leg tangled in the fence, and then I had to change my clothes and wash up, or I'd have come in here smelling like a barnyard. I am so, so sorry.
It will not affect your chances of getting this position, I assure you. Prioritizing care of your livestock is more of a plus in your column from my standpoint. More than you could believe, to be honest.
Is the ewe okay?
She's fine. Her head got caught when she tried to get some clover on the other side. I got her out and let the flock into the other pasture. I'm Eliza, by the way.
Ruth.
Connie, nice to meet you.
I hate meeting nice people at interviews. I feel terrible about getting the job. Or about not getting it.
Oh, so there's no confusion. You three are not competing for the same position.
We're not?
No. We're looking to hire a team of 3. You all possessed very promising qualifications. This is a preliminary meeting to see how you get along as a team and to see if you're all interested or not.
Well, Ruth and I sort of bonded over yarn already. Eliza, do you raise those sheep for their wool?
Not just sheep. Alpaca, too.
Oh, I love working with alpaca wool. I have a cousin who's allergic to lanolin. He can't wear sheep's wool.
This is extremely promising, let me say. Your interest in fiber arts were quite high on the list of reasons which make the 3 of you so qualified for this opportunity. Speaking of which, I should probably explain. Excuse me, please. I tried to tell them not to call during the meeting, but... Hello? What do you mean he's waiting for my answer? How exactly could I have been more clear? I thought he showed promise as well, but he's underqualified. End of story. Phoebe, the position is called Pestilence, one of the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. Yes, but he doesn't know how to ride a horse. How is a man suffering from that many diseases supposed to run alongside a horse? Well, if Gabriel is willing to put up his own money for riding lessons, that's his business, but it's not coming out of my budget. I personally think we can find another candidate, but if that's the route he wants to take, I understand. My vote is no, but his call.
Is this some kind of theatrical performance?
Sorry?
The Horseman of the Apocalypse. I should let you know I get really bad stage fright.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of public speaking myself.
Yes, I did rather let the cat out of the bag there, didn't I? Well... There honestly is no gentle way to do this, so let me disillusion you.
Disillusion? Isn't that a bit harsh?
It's actually quite literal. I'm going to remove the illusion, you see.
Oh.
That's not possible.
What isn't? It's not an idle question. I'd like you all to answer so that I can A... establish that I didn't put the idea in your head, and B, convince you that this isn't a hallucination since all 3 of you are seeing the same thing. And that thing would be...
Centaur. Horseman. I couldn't remember the word, but yes. Centaur. That.
My name is Chiron. There is an outside chance that you've heard my name before if you studied mythology. I'm now working with a select group of entities to help fill certain anthropomorphic positions as their previous avatars either retire, are let go, or in some cases pass away.
I'm sorry, I have to be honest. I wasn't listening to a word of that.
He's hiring fictional characters like Father Time or Mother Nature.
Excellent reasoning. Though fictional doesn't describe them. Many people might not believe in them, but many people don't believe in centaurs, and as you can see...
Wait! There really is a Mother Nature?
We are actually between Mother Natures at the present time. The last one's drinking problem became too much of a challenge, so we had to let her go.
Go home, Mother Nature. You're drunk.
And you thought it was just a meme.
Hang on. I can't believe this is the issue I have hearing this, but should you have told us that? Isn't that covered by confidentiality?
Certain aspects of modern hiring practices for workplace behavior truly don't apply here. It's a bit difficult forbidding office romances with Cupid hanging around in the hallways. Should you choose to accept employment here, you will have to get used to this particular corporate culture.
Wait, so what position did you want us to fill?
Three women, all into the fabric arts. That sort of points in only one direction, doesn't it? The fates.
You are quite good at this. Astutely deduced. One of you to spin the threads of destiny, one to weave them, and one to cut them.
Cut? As in...
End. Yes. Whichever one of you chooses to cut the threads will determine the length of those threads.
Oh, I don't think I could do that.
I could. Can I clip my ex-husband's thread a little shorter?
Certainly.
Don't joke about that.
I can't speak for her, but I'm not. I've hired two different Grim Reapers and a rider on a pale horse just this decade. If we didn't allow some bias in the selection process, I dare say those positions would have remained unfilled.
So if you cheese off someone who later becomes the Grim Reaper...
Another reason to be kind to strangers. Now, ideally, we'd ask for a long-term contract, but with the population the way it is today, burnout has been high in these positions. We'd ask for a 6-month commitment.
Oh, jeez. 7 billion people in the world? How can you possibly...
Oh, no. The creation of 1,500 threads and the cutting of 6,300 every minute is not your job. You'd only be responsible for people with destiny.
Doesn't everybody have destiny?
Of course not. What most people believe is destiny falls into Lady Luck's inbox, or Cupid's, if it's a destined to be together sort of thing. No, destiny is a call to the awesome or to the awful. It is a painful extreme either way. Destiny only affects 1 in 10,000, but with a population of so many billion, still, it will only affect you if you are selected for the position.
So that isn't a given. You have other candidates?
Several billion. We really have the entire human population to pull from. However, to be fair, you all seem qualified, and it is in my best interest to fill the positions quickly. Once you fully understand what's being asked of you, I am prepared to offer you the positions today.
Oh, I'm very interested.
I want to know more.
It will only affect you if you are selected for this position.
Over 1,000 years in this job, and I still don't know when to keep my mouth shut.
So destiny will only affect us if we take this job. Doesn't that mean we have no destiny?
Well, certainly. You can hardly be expected to weave a pattern from inside the pattern. I confess, I never understand this aspect of the human condition. You cannot all be outstanding, not in either the positive nor the negative sense. It is simply not possible for 7 billion things to each be remarkable. You literally could not remark on each of them. I miss the ancient Greeks and their understanding of the Icarus legend.
I thought Sleepy Hollow took place in New York.
I think you're thinking of Ichabod Crane.
She's actually thinking of Ichabod Crane. But in any case, Icarus was the guy with the wax wings.
I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
Icarus's father invented wings held together by wax to help the two of them escape from imprisonment. But Icarus found he enjoyed flying and wanted to go higher and higher. Despite his father's warnings, he flew too close to the sun and the wax melted, his wings fell apart, and he fell to his death.
Okay, but doesn't it get colder the higher you go? That's why mountains stay snow-capped, right?
This was a myth. Actually, more of an allegory.
Well, excuse me, but 10 minutes ago, so was Mother Nature and Father Time and Santa Claus, for all I know.
Okay, stop. Look, I think we've come a long way since the ancient Greeks. The Icarus story is, well, it's just about keeping people from getting too uppity, isn't it? People are easier to control if they aren't trying to be more than they are.
I don't particularly want to get bogged down in this argument, but destiny is an awful thing. I use the term to literally mean full of awe. The warning of the Icarus legend is the same warning fire presents. Control the fire, it grants light and warmth. Let the fire control you, it grants destruction.
But you're saying not everyone has access to fire.
Fire warms more than just the person who lit it. You can be a good person without destiny. You can be a happy person without destiny. You can be loved and joyous and unique and special without destiny. Or you can just be as miserable as you like. Still, if you want to have your own destiny, or if you're upset that destiny is not more evenly portioned out, take the job.
We can weave ourselves into the tapestry. We can give ourselves a thread of destiny after we're born.
You can learn how to do so, at any rate. With 6 months' training, you should be able to make a thread and weave it into the fabric to give yourselves a favorable destiny and a long life. Within a year, you'll be able to do it well. The longer you stay after that, well, you can reshape the fabric of destiny however you feel it should be. Make the world in your own image, if you like.
Now that is flying too close to the sun.
Is there any limit to the number of threads we'd be allowed to spin?
I take it that's the position which interests you the most, Ruth. No limit whatsoever, except your own ability. However, there is one thing which we need to establish first. The Fates are generally depicted as the Maiden spinning, the Mother weaving, and the Crone. We should probably establish who is qualified for each position.
Wait, does that mean if I want to do the weaving, I have to get pregnant?
It would be ideal, yes.
I don't think any of us are over 40. Why did you think one of us could be the crone?
Well, if you look at the historic lifespan of humans, that would certainly...
You know what? I'm out. Are you out?
I can be out, yeah.
I think I can be out, too.
I'm sorry to hear that. If you change your minds, of course, I can provide you with a business card, but...
Don't bother.
I agree.
Wait. Mr. Chiron, sir? You say the Fates are generally depicted as Maiden, Mother, and Crone.
That's how their tale is told.
So change it.
What?
Why not? I do it all the time when I'm making a sweater. I start out thinking I'm doing one pattern and I start a new one. Ladies, we can totally do that.
I'm afraid not. Anthropomorphic characters cannot simply reinvent their origins.
I read my niece the original version of The Little Mermaid a few nights ago. It's a terrible ending. So when they made the movie, they changed it.
They changed it to sentimental hogwash.
Because the original ending sucks. Just like nobody tells the Icarus story anymore because we know the story sucks.
The original story of Hercules has him father over 100 children before he turns 18. They stopped telling that part of the story because it's a terrible story to tell. Then they realized the illegitimate son of a god nobody believed in wasn't the right hero for the age. So they invented a flying alien in a blue leotard who did most of the same things.
So we should be the Fates. The new Fates.
But that's not how the story goes.
So change the story.
It's not like you're rewriting history. I know you said these weren't fictional characters, but... Well, of course they are.
And a retelling of fiction isn't any less legitimate. It's the right story for the right age.
So Ruth is going to spin, I'm going to weave, and... Sorry.
Connie.
Connie is going to cut her ex-husband's thread into teeny tiny pieces. We're going to make so much destiny, the world will be drenched in it. And if we can't get every single person a destiny of their own, well, we're sure going to try.
So where do we start?
You go out the door, turn right, and then open the sixth door on your left. Tell the three women you find there that you'd like to start training immediately.
So we're hired.
Of course you're hired. I think it's safe to say this was...
Fate?
No. fate is what it's about to be.
You have been listening to Woven Destiny, produced by Seat of Our Pants Players, written and directed by Dan Wenzel. Ruth was Rebecca Scheimer. Connie was Brianna Kubi. Eliza was Jill Wenzel. Chiron was Rick Tennant. Sound effects by www.freesfx.co.uk. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you later.